And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You can be seated, and let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for this passage of Scripture. God, I pray you help me, as Pastor Tyler prayed, help me to rightly divide the word of the truth. And God, I just pray you'll work in our hearts. Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me with thy power and, Lord, thy enabling. And Lord, I pray I can just be a channel of truth today. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So every day is a choice. You've got to choose. Your life will be, it's going to either be the way of the righteous or the way of the ungodly. That's really your choice. To get to this blessing that we're talking about, there's some things that it requires. Your choices of your life are going to affect every area of your life. You know, we looked in Hebrews, in Moses, he chose. He instead of going with the riches of Egypt, he chose to suffer with the people of God. It was his choice. And God blessed him for that. And everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody does. But few people want to do what it takes to follow that path of blessing. If we look over in the Psalm chapter 24, it says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so we look here at this pathway of blessing. A blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you got to learn to separate. You separate. Separate from the world. Put off. That's what Ephesians and Galatians, Colossians talks about. Put off. Then you put on. Get away from these things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So you learn to saturate yourself in the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate. And you learn to meditate. And constantly you meditate upon the word of God. When you do that, you get to know the God of this word. And you keep your mind upon Christ. And your mind is transformed by the renewing. And so that is the goal. And so as we get that, we get to this pathway of blessing. And the entrance way to the blessing that we're talking about here, It is through Jesus Christ. And so what does the blessing look like? What is the result? And the word in Psalm chapter 1, the blessed is the man, it's a plural word. It's a word of plurality. It's not just one blessing, okay? This is more like bless, bless, bless. And it's all the blessings, not just one. But we are a blessed people if we will follow God's plan for our life. And so God's plan, just those two words, God's plan, that's become almost a cultural catchphrase of these days. You see that. I don't know if that's a song or what, but yeah, a lot of college athletes will say, God's plan, God's plan. And you know, I heard a story just last week. Somebody did a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And I was like, why do they do that? And the reasoning they gave, they said it was God's plan for my life. Well, let me tell you, so let's talk about that just for a second. Okay, God's plan is always in line with God's word. Right, that is a very important thing that you must understand. And so if somebody uses this catchphrase, or if you use this catchphrase, but your actions or their actions are not in accordance to God's word, you can know for yourself and you can know for others that is, if it's not in accordance to God's word, it's not God's plan. And therefore, it will not receive God's blessing. If you want to follow God's plan, you got to follow his word. And if you follow his plan, follow his word, you can have God's blessing. And God's merciful to us. And a lot of times God will give us blessing in our life, even when we do not deserve it. But you think about it, all these blessings. The fact that you came here this morning, I believe everybody here walked into the place today. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're able to breathe. You're able to sing. You sang beautifully. You're blessed. I believe everybody came in a car. You didn't have to walk. You came in a car, you came on a van, you're blessed. You know, there's many different blessings. There's many different physical, there's many different material blessings God has blessed us with. We're blessed to live in a country where we can come to church and we have the freedom to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear of persecution. And that is a wonderful thing. And so there's all kinds of blessings, but there's the fact that we can hear the gospel, that leads us to the greatest blessing of all, and that is the blessing that spoke about in the book of Ephesians. It says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and the greatest blessing you'll ever have is having a new life in Christ Jesus and having Christ in you. That's the greatest blessing. That's the blessing we're talking about. That's the blessing of God. And there's nothing like being a born-again Christian. There's nothing like being saved. There's the only way that you can have that is to realize that you have a sin nature and that your sin is an offense to God and your sin separates you from God and your sin must be paid for. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, for all have sinned and that sin must be dealt with, and God loves you and He sent His Son Jesus to be the payment for your sin. That's God's gift to you. And when we agree with God about our sin, and we repent towards God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is how we get this. This is how we get new life in Jesus Christ. Have you been born again this morning? That's very important. That is the gateway to the blessing. Then we have the pathway to bless as we grow as Christians. In order to enter into this blessed life that God wants to bless, we must separate and saturate and meditate. But then the results of that, this blessing of God, it results in not just an isolated event, but it's a way of life. It's a way of life. Most people get this wrong. We associate God's blessing with events in our life. That's what we look at. We're like, well, I tell you what, you had a financial, something good happened financially. Well, God blessed me there. Or God, that's the blessing of God. Maybe getting a new car or even going to a revival meeting. Now, I'll tell you what, I've been to a lot of good revival meetings, and it's great. It is a blessing, and God loves a good revival meeting. But what God wants us to have is a revived life. Amen. He wants to have a revived life, an abundant life. He wants you to have a life of blessing. This is a result. This is a life. This is the abundant life. And so, your life is it's like seasons. Ministry is like seasons, and each season you are in prepares you for the next season. And Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a time, for everything there is a season, a time and a purpose under heaven. And God hath made all things beautiful in His time, and we have no idea what God is doing in our life and our different seasons that we go through. But don't worry about that. God is in control. And I like the ladies. They went to this retreat and they said, let God write your story. I thought, what a great theme. And the theme song Jess said was the blessed assurance. This is my story. This is my song. God writes your story, and He takes care of all that. What we need to do is focus on following the pathway to blessing. And whatever season that we fall in, we're blessed of God. Just because things aren't going well doesn't mean that you're not blessed. If you've got God's approval on you, God's enabling on you, God's grace upon you, you are blessed. And that's what we want to be. We want to be blessed. Again, whatever it is, you know, five years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know what your goals or your plans are for your life, but I guarantee everybody here wants to be blessed. You know, anybody? God wants to bless you. But again, we must follow this pathway. So what does it look like when we follow the path, and what is the result of blessing? Again, and the pathway is in verse number 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. But then in verse number 3 it says, and. And I love that. I love that's a conjunction that links verses 2 to the rest of 1 and 2 to the rest of the chapter. And so there's more. There's more. It doesn't stop at verse 2. There's more. There's more for your life. And so the blessings that are talked about in verses 1 and 2, that's just the beginning. But God has got so much more for you. He wants to grow you. He wants to bring things into your life. And He wants to get some things out of your life. And He wants to keep you on a path of blessing in your life through your entire life. He wants you to be blessed. And so what does that look like? It says, and he shall be like a tree. I like that. He shall be like a tree. Now, we trimmed some trees out here in the front a few weeks ago, and man, that was a lot of limbs, wasn't it, guys? I tell you what, it seemed like just a never-ending job to remove all those limbs, and it looked so good out there, those cut back. But You know, there's some things about trees that are different than other plants. Some of these plants out there, I could walk out there and I could just jerk them out of the ground, but I can't do that with a tree. Don't care how strong I am. There's no way that I could do that with a tree. A tree is rooted, okay? And God's plan will result in you being rooted. You'll be like a tree. This blessing means that we're going to stay grounded. We live in a world that's in a continual change, and there's uncertainty all around you, and that can shake you up if you let it. That can get you real shook up. God never intended for your life to be an emotional roller coaster. God intended your life as a Christian to be blessed and to be rooted and to be grounded in the Word of God so that you will have stability no matter what happens and no matter what is going on around you. You need to be stable. We've got a lot of unstable people out there. And the problem is they're not rooted in the Word of God. And no matter what we can say, if we're not rooted, we're not blessed the way God wants us to be blessed. We need to be rooted. We need to be stable. So how does this happen? How do we be like a tree planted? You know, what does being planted mean? Again, it is stability. If you want to be a stable person, God wants you to be. He wants you to be stable mentally, emotionally, relationally. You got to put your roots down. How are you going to do that? You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to meditate upon the Word of God. You've got to get to know the God of His Word. And you've got to learn to follow by faith the instruction in the Word of God. And this will give you stability in your life. And many people live by emotions. They do. People say, I'm just going to follow my heart. Don't do that. That's a real bad idea. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? But God's Word, feelings change. Feelings are constantly changing, but God's Word never changes. God's Word is solid. It's a constant. It's our North Star. It will lead us the right way every single time, regardless of how we feel. You know, God doesn't want you to live your life by emotions. So he wants you, if you live your life, you let emotions run your life, then emotions will ruin your life. Feelings, again, always change. There's a wonderful contrast in this psalm. It talks about a tree that is planted, or it talks about the chaff which the wind driveth away. So what is chaff? It's talking about processing wheat, processing grain. You're going to use the grain as the good part of the stalk of wheat that you're going to use for bread, to feed, to nourish, all right? The rest of the plant, the wheat stem, is chaff. There's no nourishment in that. And so it talks about when they would have chaffing floors in the Middle East, and these would always be built maybe on a plain, on a natural elevation where the wind would always be blowing through and coming through. It's like a wind tunnel. And so why on these elevated areas? When they would take these rakes and they would throw the cut wheat up in the air, and the wind would do the work for them. It would the grain is thicker, it's more dense, and the chaff, the unfruitful part of the plant, would blow away, and the grain would come back down to the ground. And so when the wind starts to blow, it's going to blow all things away in your life that have no substance to them. Do you have substance to your life? If your life has no substance, when the winds blow, when the persecution comes, when the bad times come, it's just going to go away. You're not going to be able to stand. And so if your life has no substance, if your Christianity is only for show, it's when the wind blows, again, it's going to fall apart. But if you will get immersed into the Word of God and this becomes everything to you, then you will have stability. You will have substance, and you will stand in that day, and you will not be blown away. And so the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, hereby they lie in wait to deceive. So you need to be rooted, not only rooted, but like a tree planted, and you cannot move a tree. That man, that's solid, and it's like a tree, and it's planted by a river of water. It's just a wonderful, wonderful picture here, and I just love that. That's the result of the place of blessing. If we look over here, and the other thing that God wants you to do is beach planted by a river of water. So the water is a picture of the source of strength and stability that comes from the tree. It's from the source of water. And, you know, the Word of God, it is our source of water. The Spirit of God is a source of water. And being yielded to the Spirit, we learned about that in our Netcasters course, about being yielded and empowered by the Spirit of God. And so God's plan of blessing is going to result in you being rooted. God's plan of blessing is going to result also in you being fruitful. A life of blessing will result in continual growth. And I want you to notice that it says it bring forth his fruit in his season. So that's a real important part that we must understand there. Galatians says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some people are doing what's right, but they're not seeing immediate result. All right? Now, God, notice this. When you will always reap what you sow, and you'll always reap later than you sow. All right, but God will. God is faithful, and you will reap in your season. And so whenever that season ends, and that's up to God, we just need to do what is right. God will bless it, and we will reap, and we will be fruitful in his time. And so a lot of Christians get frustrated because they're not producing fruit. And the thing is you can't produce fruit. You can't. You can't do it on your own. John chapter 15 is very clear upon this. We must be rooted in the Word of God. We must be connected to the supply of the Spirit of God. And this is the method of Christ in you. Christ is living through you. And that's the only way that you can have fruit, is by yielding and having Christ live through you. It's Christ, it's his power that you produce fruit, that you can be conformed to the image of his Son. And so the more fruit the more I have of him, the more he has of me, and the more fruit is produced in my life. And when that starts to happen, what does that look like? Well, who gets the glory when that happens? Does that make me look better, or does that make him look better? It makes him look better. The glory goes to God. And so when spiritual fruit is produced in your life, it does not lead people to think more of you or more of me, but brings glory to your Father in heaven. And that's the goal. That's what we want to do with our life. It's all about the gardener. And then if we look here at this next verse here, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, that's an interesting verse right there. The palm tree is known for its height. And a palm tree grows about a foot a year, that certain type of palm tree in that area of the world. And so there's just, God wants you to continually be growing, all right? And then also the comparison is in like the cedar in Lebanon. Now what's significant about a cedar in Lebanon? Cedar in Lebanon has a tremendous root system. They say that the cedars in Lebanon, there's more under the ground than there is above the ground. There's just a tremendous root system. And that's the way you want to be. You want to have, there needs to be a lot to you. Again, a lot of substance. There needs to be a lot below the surface. When you get rooted in the Word of God, and you get your faith in the Word of God, you get deep roots, and there's a lot that's below the surface that people can't even see, but it's there, and it's real, and it's integrity, and it's a wonderful thing. And then the next verse talks about, and these are planted in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. And then they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Then it talks about being fruitful. And so that's a wonderful thing. God wants you to be fruitful. So he is like a palm tree. He wants you to grow up. Like a cedar tree, he wants you to grow down. And then like a fruit tree to bless other people, he wants you to grow out. So there's all these different directions of growth that God wants to have in your blessed life. And so that's a wonderful thing. The third thing we see, that God wants you to have prosperity. And this is not just prosperity, but it's a biblical prosperity. And so we tend to think that the blessings of God are always about us. Well, that's not necessarily the case. When you have a blessed life, God is going to use you to be a channel of blessing to many other people. This is the model and plan for a blessed life. You look at the models, the examples that God has given us in the Bible. You look at Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Paul gave his life to be a blessing to other people. And he had a blessed life. Jesus Christ, the one we're striving to be like. He said, I came not to this world to be ministering to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. He came to serve, and he was blessed. And so that's what we want to do. True joy and blessing comes from serving others. The blessing is all about being a channel of blessing to other people. It says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so prosperity is something that God gives. And really, prosperity is not actually the goal. It's just a byproduct of obedience to God. I'm so excited about you all that are taking a step of believer's baptism today. That's a step of obedience. That's one of the first steps of obedience after you get saved, is to take that step of believer's baptism. God, he will honor that. You follow God's plan for your life, and he's gonna bless your life. And so if you will be what God wants you to be, you'll end up doing what God wants you to do. And the biblical prosperity is a result. Now, the world defines prosperity differently, doesn't it? But this is, you see, the totally different. When you look at it from God's point of view, you're just a channel of blessing. And you're helping other people around you. And that's a wonderful thing. As we close out here this morning, and just again, the thought, I want God's blessing on my life. I want to have a ministry that's blessed. I want to have a family that's blessed. And I know you do too. But a lot of times we look for that. We look for that in the wrong things. We spend all of our lives trying to attain blessing. But, you know, we're going at it the wrong way. And God shows us a clear way. He shows us a pathway. He shows us a plan. And I heard an illustration of a man in Persia, and his name was Ali Afed. And Ali Afed, he had a beautiful farm. And he had a beautiful family, and he had a lot of substance about him, and there was a story told that there was a priest that came by his house and was talking to Ali Afed and told him about there was a discovery of diamond mines in different parts of the world. And people that were discovering these diamond mines, they were striking it rich, and they were finding these diamonds. And so Ali began to think about this, and he began to covet, become a little discontented where he was at. And he thought, man, if I could find one of these diamond mines, I'd really have it made. And when he began to covet, he made a series of bad choices out of discontent. And you know what Ali did? Ali Afed, he sold his farm. He sold everything he had. And he left his family, and he began to pursue his dream of finding a diamond mine. So Ali Afed, he spent the rest of his life going around the globe in search of diamonds. And he spent all of his substance, all of his time, all everything he had looking for these diamond mines, and he never found the first diamond. It got to be later in his life, and he was spent all his money. He was very depressed. He felt like a failure. And Ali Afed, a tragic thing happened. He took his own life. He committed suicide because he thought, man, nothing has worked out for me. And so you say, well, that's a horrible tragedy. Well, this is the part of the story that's the real tragedy. The man that bought Ali Afed's farm was living there for a while. And one day he was out walking his camel, and he went to the river at Ali Afed's farm to get his camel a drink of water. And the camel went down in the river to get a drink of water and uncovered a rock in the river. And Ali Afed looked down and said, well, that's an interesting looking rock. So he picked up the rock, and he was a pretty rock, so he polished it off, and he come and he set up on his mantle, didn't think anything of it. Well, that priest that had told Ali Afed about the diamond mines, he came back to visit the man at his farm. And he came into the man's house, and he looked up on his mantle, and he saw the rock. And the priest said, Ali Afed, Ali Afed has come home. And the man that bought the farm says, no, didn't you hear about Ali Afed? It's really sad what happened to him. And so the priest says, well, where did you get that? And he said, oh, that's just a rock. I found it in the riverbed. And the priest says, no, that's not a rock. That's a diamond. So they went back down to the riverbed, and they found another rock, another diamond. And another one, and another one, and another one. And they kept finding more. And then they hired teams to go and mine the riverbed. And they and on Eliphaz's former property that he owned, they found all kinds of diamonds. And at this time in history, this was the largest discovery of diamonds in the world. It was said that the crown jewels came out of this diamond find. There were so many diamonds. The moral is this. What Eliphaz, he spent his entire life looking for, was right under his nose the entire time. And he went his whole life looking for everything. And that's the thing, you know, church, what you're looking for, that blessing of God, it's right under your nose. It's on your lap. It's in this blessed old book. It's getting to know the God of this book. And some of you will spend your entire life searching for things that you think are going to give you blessing. It's right under your nose. Miss out on this. God wants you to be blessed. Are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? Follow the path of blessing. Follow the plan of blessing. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask.